With the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
Welcome to Robin Hoop, an NBA Draft show here on Dash Radio's Nothing Net channel, where we bring rich takes to the poorly informed. All right, welcome back to the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. Very interesting things that we want to touch on this week. Firstly, let me apologize for the hiatus, but I don't think you're going to be too upset. As we sit here, the reason why we took a little bit of a break from our show is I was diving all in to NBA 2K21, and we now have created our very own Nothing But Net Robin Hoop Radio 2020 draft class. That's right. I spent a lot of time on this, and I'm willing to say that I think it's the best draft class out there. Now, I haven't used every draft class, of course, but this is a draft class that really is in depth. We're talking 60 plus prospects. In addition, there's a lot of fun additions that we've added. So some other really popular draft analysts, whether they're on a radio station or just across the kind of the draft, I guess we could say other hosts of other draft shows, but also just draft experts that a lot of people know if you follow the draft and if you follow NBA Draft Twitter. Those are going to be some big names. So we actually added those people into the game. We also added some fun celebrities. We also added in some interesting, at least one interesting basketball player from a movie. We'll see if people are able to realize or figure out who that is. Now, here's what I want to say about this draft class. The additions that we added at the end of the class are not players that are going to have any effect whatsoever on your gameplay unless you want them to. So if you want to use this draft class specifically as, you know, I want to run some sims, I want this to be realistic, that's going to be the way you can do it. And on top of that, not only can you use our draft class, but you can also actually use our roster that we're going to have set up. Now, all we've done there, we haven't done anything crazy. All we've done there is downloaded the most current 2K21 roster that does not have rookies. We're going to make some tweaks to that, but then you can use those two hand in hand for if you want to do my leagues, if you want to do simulations, or however you want to have that set up, you do have that option now. So that is where we have been over the last, you know, number of weeks. We have been taking a break from talking about the draft on our show because we are going all in on this draft class. Now, this is going to be a draft class that is on Xbox. Unfortunately, is not available for PlayStation. That could be something that we look to change down the road. And we are going to make other draft classes as well, whether that be some historic ones with some players that aren't in the game currently, or if we want to go the route of doing, we'll probably do, you know, 2021, maybe 2022. We're gonna probably have some other options as far as future draft classes are concerned as well. So lots to touch on there. And this week we are going to start, of course, by diving into that draft class, taking a look at how some of the players rank, and then we will be able to go from there. Let's take a look and go through this draft class. take a look and see what we're working with here. Now, again, you can find this on Xbox. All you have to do is search NBN-radio. That is the gamer tag we have here. You could also take a look and search for the title of the draft class. We have it titled 2020 60 Plus Real, comma, at Robin Hoop Radio. So you're able to find it either of those ways. And now let's kind of dive into it a little bit and take a look at how players kind of came out. Let me say one thing. I did not have this set up as, like, this is not my big board. Let me just say that. It is not probably far off from my big board and where I have certain players ranked. But that's one thing to keep in mind is that this is not a ranking of the players that I've put together. This is taking a look at these players and saying to my and going over their strengths, going over their weaknesses. Now, in some areas, I probably think a player is better than other people do at certain aspects of their game, but that doesn't necessarily mean that when the game tabulates how to rank these players or what their overall is going to be, it doesn't mean that I have it set up that way, if that makes sense. So that's one thing to keep in mind as we're going through this. This is not just a end-all, be-all, like, these are my rankings. It's probably going to be somewhat close, but I think some guys are going to be a little higher than others when we actually go through this. So just something to keep in mind. Now, the first player is going to be a little bit of an outlier, and that is Isaac Okoro. Now, he is only a 76 overall. One thing I will say about the normal 2K21, or sorry, any 2K draft class, is that normally the top guys usually are somewhere in between like that 77 to 80 range, right? So you'll usually have one or two guys that are going to be maybe an 80, 81, maybe some guys that are going to be like 79. It just depends on the draft class. Now, most people feel that this is a weaker draft class. That is not why I did it this way, because I personally don't necessarily see it as a weaker class. I actually see it as a deeper class. So while you may not have the top talent that you see in other classes, you do have a lot of really good players that are going to be contributors, I think, for years to come. So those are things to keep in mind as we go through this. The other thing is, I think that 2K has a tendency, when the first classes come out, sometimes they're a little bit too good, some of the players, and they end up having to dial that back. So we've just dialed that back initially. We don't want guys to jump in and necessarily be game changers all of a sudden. Now, do I think there's some players in this draft class that can do that? Of course. There's going to be a number of guys that I really like in this class that I do think can make an immediate impact and can be solid players. So those things to keep in mind as we go forward. So first we have Isaac Okoro. He is a 76. We have Denny Avdija, a 75. Onyeka Okongwu, 74. Anthony Edwards, 74. We have Killian Hayes then at a 74. Devin Vassell. You have Patrick Williams, both those guys at 74. Moving down to the 73 overall, we have Precious Achiuwa, Desmond Bane, LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, Obi Toppin, Kyra Lewis, Paul Reed, Tyrese Halliburton, Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey, by the way, is really jumping up my board. He's definitely in my top 10 now. That is one thing I can say. And another surprise, we have not gotten him yet, but a guy that I might be moving into my top 10 is Tyrell Terry. I'm a huge fan of both those players. We have R.J. Hampton then starts out the 72s. R.J. Hampton is a very interesting prospect to me. And when I watch his game, the first player that comes to mind is Zach LaVine. I challenge you to watch his game. I'm not saying that he's a good shooter like Zach LaVine, but just watch him, and something about him gives me this Zach LaVine vibe. Probably the athleticism. Obviously, he's not a great shooter, but like LaVine is. But, you know, both players, very bad defenders. I mean, R.J. Hampton should be able to be a good defender, right? And when Zach LaVine was with the Wolves, even now with the Bulls, I always said to myself, like, he could be a good defender. It just never came to fruition. So my hope is that R.J. Hampton can fix some of those issues, whether it be effort, whether it be footwork. There's just things he has to really work out on that end. Moving on, though, in the 72s, we have Jay Scrubb, one of my favorite players in this draft. I'm a huge Jay Scrubb fan. We have Aaron Naismith, Isaiah Stewart, Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony's another player that I've really started to move up my board, by the way. So he's a good example of where I don't see this reflecting my big board. The big thing about Cole Anthony, I watched an interview with him recently where he talked about how he was basically not healthy for the entire season. I think he mentioned something about being healthy for maybe 5 games. And so that should tell you a lot. I think the Cole Anthony that you got last year is not the true Cole Anthony. I think you have to watch his high school film, see how explosive he was, see the type of player he was there. And then if you add that into his college tape, of course it's going to be a little different when you watch college versus high school, different levels of competition, but he looked like a different player. And I think you're going to see that he's more so the guy we saw in high school than he is in college, and that's why I've moved him into my top 10. We have Zeke Nagy then, Grant Riller. Grant Riller is one of the, I think, going to be one of the sleepers of this draft class. He is going to go later than he probably should. That's my guess. Now, I hope a team takes a chance on him earlier than later because he's very, very talented. One of the best finishers in the class, one of the best ball handlers in the class. There's so much to like about Grant Riller. We've talked about him. If you did not listen, make sure you check out the Grant Riller episode on where in podcast form. We definitely dove deep into Grant Riller, and I'm such a big fan of his. Then we have Killian Tilly, and these are all at the 72 overall mark. Daniel Oturu. Daniel Oturu, by the way, some video came out recently of him shooting three-point shots, and some people talked about him just being a player that has improved that three-point shot. But I'm sorry, but he's very mechanical. It's slow. It's not going to be a shot that he's going to just be able to readily get off in the pros. I don't think we can look at what he's been able to do so far and translate it into a successful three-point shooter. I just don't. And so people want to do that. People want to look at workouts, and people want to look at empty gym film. And I'm sorry, I'm just not there with you. I just don't see it. And he's going to be a player that I'm just more down on than a lot of people. I know there's been talk that he's going to go in the first round. I don't know that. I mean, I don't have a first round grade on him. And maybe that's just me, but that's where I'm at. Next up, keeping with the 72 overalls, we have Tyler Bay. Then we have, jumping to 71, we have Udoka Azubuike. We have Isaiah Joe. Isaiah Joe, by the way, is very, very much moving up my board. I really, really like Isaiah Joe as a prospect, and not just a shooter, because we talk about what a good shooter he is, a really solid defender as well. And so he's a guy that I think is going to continue to move up my board. I don't know where he's going to end up finishing, but so much to like about Isaiah on both ends of the court, and I think someone's going to get a really good, valuable player with him. Next up, you have Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith is an interesting player to me. We did have an episode earlier that we talked about Jalen Smith. We focused on him. I'm not sold on Jalen Smith. I think he's going to be a solid player, but I'm not as high on him as a lot of people. I mean, I've seen people putting him in the top 15, and I just don't see it. I don't even have him in my top 20. I have real questions about Jalen Smith as a prospect, but I think he's going to be a very valuable player for a long time. That's what we talked about with this draft class, is that maybe it's not superstars, right? There's no Zion Williams, right? But, or sorry, Zion Williamson. But when we look at this draft class 10 years from now, you're going to say, you know what? Overall, it was a solid class of players that really lasted in this league. And I do say this. I think there's a number of guys that will end up being stars, but it's just going to be one of those classes that I think ends up being much deeper than some of the ones we've seen in recent years. Then we have Trey Jones. He starts off the 70s. We have Robert Woodard, Josh Green, Jaden McDaniels, Emmanuel Quickley, Xavier Tillman, Tyrell Terry. Tyrell Terry, seriously, one of my favorite prospects in this draft class. There's going to be some room to move him up. Like, this is 1.0 of our draft class. We are going to make some changes. We are going to make some adjustments to this class as the season goes on. We'll see what happens with some of the pre-draft stuff. We'll probably make some changes once we start getting some more official combine numbers. I know there's been some goofy things as far as the shuttle is concerned. For example, I believe I saw Grant Riller set the combine record for the shuttle, but they talk about how they're doing the shuttle differently now. So with that being said, now we can't compare shuttle results from this class to past classes because they're just not being done the same way. So those are all things to consider as we're kind of going through here. Then we have Devon Dotson. We have Alexei Pokusevsky, Sadiq Bey, Elijah Hughes, Vernon Carey. And by the way, actually, back up to Alexei. I do believe Poku is going to be in my top 15. I do think that he possesses some interesting skills, especially given his size, and it's going to be valuable. And someone's going to take a chance on him, and I think they should. Then you have Vernon Carey, Peyton Pritchard. Peyton Pritchard is going to be a first-round grade for me. That's all but certain. I really, really like what he brings to the table as a shooter. I think he's a really solid defender. He does need to get a little stronger. That's very common, right? A lot of players that have that issue. But Peyton Pritchard is a really solid prospect. And to me, he's going to be maybe we don't see him as like a high-level starter, but if he's going to be the guy, let's say, leading your bench for the next 10 years, you could do a lot worse than that. And he's a guy that makes high-level plays. And talk about this. One thing that people need to realize about Peyton Pritchard is just how hard he works. His coach talked about how in the midst of a practice, he'll sometimes change his T-shirt 4 to 5 times because he sweats so much. First guy in the gym in the morning, putting in the work. He's got some really cool workout videos where he shows off his dribbling ability and some of the dribble workouts that he does. High-level ball handler, high IQ, so much to like about Peyton Pritchard. I think teams are really sleeping on him. Then we have Jordan Wara, Tyreek Jones, Cassius Winston, Malachi Flynn, Marcus Howard, Theo Maledon. By the way, Maledon, I'm not real high on him. You know, I've watched him play. One thing that I will say about certain players is you watch them and you kind of get excited for them as prospects. I watch Theo Maledon and I don't. I do not get excited for him. Not that he's going to be a bad player. Could he be, like we talked about with Peyton Pritchard, a guy that lasts a long time and is in the league as a nice backup guard? Very much so. That could very much happen. That's really what we're seeing with this draft class. But I'm just not that high on him. As a 19-year-old, I just don't look at his game and go, yeah, I'm really excited for this or I'm excited for that. He makes some nice plays, pretty good ball handler, good passer, like a good playmaker, but I just don't see it. I just don't see him having that much in terms of a high upside. We have Mamadi Diakite, Skylar Mays, Tyshawn Alexander, Nick Richards, Nico Mannion, Cassius Stanley, CJ Ellaby, Nate Hinton. This is now, by the way, we're dropped down pretty far. So, like Nico Mannion, for example, is a 67. Nate Hinton is a 66. Ayo Dosunmu, Leandro Bomaro. Bomaro, by the way, I think that he's going to be adjusted here. I really needed to dive more into his game. We talk about how Theo Maledon just doesn't really do it for me as far as getting me excited when I watch him play. The opposite can be said about Bomaro. I really, really like Bomaro's game. He moves really well on the defensive end. Very good defensive footwork. And he kind of has this like herky-jerky play style that I really, really like. Kind of shifty in terms of the way he moves, the speed of the game at which he plays at. There's a lot of things to like about Bomaro. I really want to look to maybe move him up a little more. Kenyon Martin Jr., we have Philip Petrusev, Josh Hall, Caleb Wesson, that's at a 65 overall. Kareem Main is a very interesting prospect. He is a guy that sort of is foregoing college in a way. I believe he went to sort of a college. I guess I need to look into him more in Canada. But he's a guy that very, very athletic, and he's very untapped, very raw. And that's what you kind of see with some prospects in every class, right? There's a number of players that are going to take some time, and I do think he's one of those players. In fact, when you actually look at what 2K classifies him as, when you put in all his strengths, weaknesses, that sort of thing, he's literally just listed as a prospect, and I think that's very fair. We have Khalil Whitney, Sid Sykes, Yam Madar, Abdoulaye Endaye, Ashton Hagens, Reggie Perry, Jameis Ramsey, Austin Wiley. And then we have, Omer Yurtseven, and I believe that's it. And then we start getting into some of the creative players that we've done. I don't want to ruin those, but definitely when you download this draft class, which I definitely suggest you do, try it out and take a look. Hit us up on Twitter, you know, whether it's at NBN-Radio, at Robin Hoop Radio, and show us some of the outcomes that you've had with this draft class. But on top of that, one thing you can do is tell us the players that you found that were interesting. Again, we added in kind of some fun names. We're talking, you know, 63, 62, and below. So guys that really aren't going to have an impact unless you want them to. So those are things to watch for when you do use this draft class. Now what we're going to jump into a little bit is let's test out this draft class. Let's see what it does in a My League setting. So we're jumping into a new My League. We are going to use the current NBA teams. We're going to start in the regular season. One thing I will say about this draft class that we have not done, we did not go in and do much just in terms of the players and injuries as far as whether they're injury prone, not injury prone, things like that. The other thing we have not done yet is we have not messed with tendencies. So whether a guy, you know, uses his right hand more, uses his left hand more. The main thing we were trying to do was get the ratings down. So that's kind of where we're at with that. All right, so setup options. We are going to do what we normally do, which is turn off injuries. Now, if you do like this kind of content, we do a lot of simulation stuff on my other show, The Howl Radio. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But this is going to be kind of a fun scenario. What we're going to go through, we're going to see where do teams draft certain players. So based on the draft class that we have it set up, where are guys going to go? Now, the one thing I will say, we did two tests on this. And in those tests, the number one pick was LaMelo Ball in both instances. And he is not listed as the top overall player, just in terms of the actual ranking. But that's where teams have gone. So that is, like I said, it's happened in two different classes that we've tried, or this draft class in two different simulations. LaMelo Ball was the first overall pick. So kind of something interesting, something to watch for as we go through here. And we're going to, the way it works right now, by the way, you cannot start in the offseason. So unfortunately, we have to wait until one season has gone through. But when you jump into this, the first thing, one of the first things it's going to ask you once you've done all the settings is, what do you want to do for a draft class? And this is exactly what we talked about. You go to load/download draft class. It'll take a second to pop up. Once it is up, you then go to user created draft class. And when you're there, you can actually search. And again, like we talked about, you can do the search function, searching for gamer tag if you want to, or you can search by content name. So again, if we're searching by gamer tag, we search for NBN-radio. If we're searching by content, the name of this class is 2020 60 plus real at Robin Hoop Radio. So that's what we're kind of looking for. All right, so we are going to jump right in. And then what you want to do is, when it asks you, would you like storylines to be generated and applied to the players in this class? They may affect their attributes and other properties, but will make things more unpredictable and interesting. No, we don't want to do that because we're trying to make this as realistic as possible with this specific draft class. So we're going to have to jump through now and simulate this first season, and then we'll come back at you right around draft time, kind of go over that draft process and see how the game works out with this draft class being used. You're listening to Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel, and this is the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show. All right, so we are at the draft now. Welcome back to Robin Hoop Radio on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. And this is the NBA Draft class episode as we are examining the NBA Draft class that we actually made. So we're at the NBA Draft. One thing to keep in mind, because we did not have all the combine measurements, we haven't done much with the wingspan of players. So that is something we will dive into a little deeper. Something to keep in mind if you go through and you're kind of taking a look at the combine, pre-draft workouts, that sort of thing. Mainly wingspan would be the thing you'd really notice that with. So, all right, here we go for the draft. Now, one thing we did not do is we did not alter the order. So it is not the same order that they're using in the NBA. It's just based on how that simulation had gone. And so we'll see from there. The one goofy thing with the way they have this set up is that, so this is the 2021 draft is how it is in the game. Whereas in real life, this would be the 2020 draft. So the main thing is going to be having the ability to start in the off season of this past year, which I'm assuming 2K is going to update, of course, once one thing's changed, once the draft is actually taking place. So here we go. Pick number one goes to, in this case, it's the Hornets. Wow, they took Devin Vassell. So Devin Vassell is the first overall pick. Very interesting. I have not seen that happen. He normally goes much later. Interesting. And that is the Charlotte Hornets, so do with that what you will. They apparently determined that was a need. So Devin Vassell is your first overall pick. A second is the Knicks, who take Isaac Okoro. So very interesting there. Moving on, third pick, we have Killian Hayes. Goes third to the Detroit Pistons. Pacers and on the clock. Pacers take Anthony Edwards at pick number four. Next up, we have the Oklahoma City Thunder, who take Cole Anthony. Wow. So LaMelo Ball, who normally goes first overall, has not gone yet. And wow, this is a little surprising to me. The Phoenix Suns select RJ Hampton. So far, I would say this has been a very interesting draft class. The Chicago Bulls take Tyrese Halliburton, so we still have not seen LaMelo Ball go off the board. Very interesting. Tyrese Maxey now goes to the Sacramento Kings. I'm a huge Maxey fan, but this is very surprising to me. Denny Avdia, my favorite player in the draft, goes to the Thunder at pick number 9. This is crazy still that LaMelo Ball... Okay, this is just out of nowhere now. I don't know how this works, but Daniel Turo went to the Rockets. And if you recall, I do not have him high in this draft class. And I did not make him high. I put in strengths, weaknesses, and the game does the rest. I'm not sure what's going on there. Now we jump in. Kyra Lewis goes pick number 11. While it does make sense that Kyra Lewis goes high, I'm still wondering where is LaMelo Ball? Onyeka Okongwu goes at pick number 12 to the Jazz. At 13, Patrick Williams goes to the San Antonio Spurs. This is absolutely ridiculous. Precious Achiuwa goes 14th to the Trailblazers. I'm not sure what's happening here. Jay Scrubb has now jumped off the board very, very early. I'm a huge Jay Scrubb fan. I do think he should go in the first round, but I mean, this is early even for me. And this is the weirdest I've seen this draft class work out. Then we have Aaron Naismith. So most of the picks are pretty standard, right? You could definitely see Aaron Naismith going at pick 16. He's going to the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's take a look here. Oh, there's a trade that has happened. And it looks like the... who's going to be trading? The Cavaliers are now on the clock. And they have jumped up to take Josh Green at pick number 17. And there we have it, finally off the board. And for anyone that's a fan of the NBA, would not love this, I don't think. But LaMelo Ball goes 18th somehow and goes to the Golden State Warriors. Very frustrating, to say the least, that it felt the need to have him drop that far. I'm surprised teams passed. I don't know. I don't get it. He normally goes number one overall. We have Nico Mannion going next, which I would say is a little early. And I do not have him high in this draft class. I did not make him anything special. And given his size limitations, you know, I'm just not a big Nico Mannion fan. Moving on, we have Grant Riller goes at pick number 20. Very cool there. We have, number 21. Oh, we have a trade to announce, it says. And looks like the Celtics are now on the clock, and they take Tyrell Terry at pick number 21. I definitely understand the love for Terry. As I talked about, he might be in my top 10 when it's all said and done. Next up, we have Desmond Bane going to the Raptors. Great pick. I'm a huge Desmond Bane fan. Now you have the Denver Nuggets, but they are making a trade. And now the Knicks have jumped in here. Knicks take Emmanuel Quickley. So they are that is the guy that goes next off of the board here. Let's see who is next. Paul Reed comes off now. The 24th pick going to the Sixers. Paul Reed is a fantastic player, going to be able to guard 1 through 5, depending on the matchups, of course, and he will be able to, I think, offensively play possibly the 3, if reports are, like he said, he's worked a lot on his ball handling. Big thing for Reed, of course, is going to be his shooting. We dive deep into Paul Reed, though, on a previous episode. Definitely take a listen to that if you have not already. Now we have the Brooklyn Nets. They take Zeke Nnaji at pick number 25. Let's see, pick 26, Jalen Smith. He's going to the Golden State Warriors. They do get their center. Now we have the Lakers on the clock. They take Trey Jones. I'm a huge Trey Jones fan. A really, really good defender. Lots to like about him there. And he's a guy that does have to improve a bit on the offensive end, but there's a lot to like as far as Trey Jones is concerned. Let's see what's next. We have the Boston Celtics draft Peyton Pritchard. Makes sense to me. I think he's a first-round talent, and I'm a big fan of what he has to do. They say Oregon's head coach recently came out and called Pritchard the most coachable player he has ever coached. High praise from a man with such a long history. Moving up, we have Cassius Winston goes to the Clippers. They say scouts love Cassius Winston's range after he led all participants at the combine, making a large portion of his college threes. There you go. Bucks are on the clock. Bucks take Devon Dotson. Next up, we're jumping into the second round now. We have Obi Toppin, who did slide to the second round. I'm not a big Obi Toppin fan. I'm not saying he's going to slide to the second round, and he's not. There's no chance that happens, but I'm just not a big fan of his, and I made him accordingly in this draft class. He's not a bad player, but he is a bad defensive player. And the metrics match that. The eye test matches that. And so we did set him up that way. Next up, we have Isaiah Joe going to the Rockets. Isaiah Joe would be very, very good value here for the Rockets. If you get him early in the second, I think you sprint with that pick. Killian Tilly then comes off the board, 33rd pick to the 76ers. Well, let's keep going here. The Brooklyn Nets take Tyler Bay, another very good value pick here to the Brooklyn Nets. Wow, and how about this? Talk about sliding. James Wiseman. I'm not a big James Wiseman fan, and I do think he's going to slide more than people realize, but here we have it. He went in the second round, which is pretty ridiculous that he went this late. Next up, you have Isaiah Stewart going to the Nets. Let's keep it going. Tyshawn Alexander goes to the Chicago Bulls. Now, here's an interesting one. This is something that I did not anticipate, but one of our draft analysts that we did add into the game actually got drafted. I don't think that's ever happened. And that is Richard Stamen. Anyone that follows the draft will know him on Twitter as @MavsDraft, and he has his website, MavsDraft. So that's very interesting. He is listed as a 6'6 guard out of Turkey. So, again, he's not a high-level player. None of the players are that we created. We didn't want them to really make a change or impact this draft class, but here we are, have it. They've decided to take a chance on those players. And the one thing, by the way, when we made those, we reached out to those draft analysts. We said, if you were in this draft class, what would you be? What type of player would you be? And what would be your elite skill? So what we've kind of done is we've set it up that these are players that have something that they're pretty good at, or in some cases really good at, I guess we'll say, and then the rest of it is just like nothing. So they might be a really high-level playmaker, but that's it. A bad defender, bad shooter, that kind of thing. So that's kind of how we have it set up. But he went to the Hawks. Next up, we have Udoka Azubuike going to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Theo Maledon goes to the Sacramento Kings. We keep it going. Malachi Flynn goes to the Pacers. They say the Pacers clearly have a need for speed after drafting the speedy Malachi Flynn. His three-quarter court sprint time turned the head of every single scout in attendance. Keep it going. We have Xavier Tillman going to the New Orleans Pelicans. We're at pick number 43. And another shocker, as my co-host for the Howl Radio, Aaron Groshon, just got drafted by the Spurs. So we may have to make some changes here to this draft class. Aaron Groshon, by the way, is listed as a 6'5 shooting guard from Estonia. But you do end up getting, he does end up getting drafted, surprisingly. Very weird. They're not close just in terms of what they bring to the table, but here we are. And they went with it, and the Spurs are a good organization, so they must know what they're doing. Again, as I said, we'll probably have to move those guys down a little bit in this class. Next up, you have Jaden McDaniels. Jaden McDaniels is definitely growing on me. He's a player I've really started to dive into more now. I do have him as a first-round grade, and I really like what he brings to the table. Tyreke Jones is next off the board going to the Orlando Magic. Let's keep it going here, and it is Elijah Hughes going to the Brooklyn Nets. Here we are, Robert Woodard. They have him going to the Sacramento Kings, have drafted him. I'm a fan of Robert Woodard. I think when all is said and done, he will be a first-round pick for me, but we will see. Marcus Howard, that is off the board to the New Orleans Pelicans. A lot to like about Marcus Howard in terms of statistics and what he does on the court. There are some size concerns, and that's fair. Next up, the Wolves take Skylar Mays. Keep it going with the Memphis Grizzlies, who are on the clock. They take Sadiq Bey. Holy smokes. I did not realize Sadiq Bey had not been taken. That is crazy good value and shocking to me that he is still available. He is one of the top 20 players in the class in terms of overall ranking. I have no idea how he slid this far. That is absolutely crazy to me. So that's as good a value as it gets. Then you have, how about this? Poku, who had not gone yet, goes to the New Orleans Pelicans. And as some people like to call him the unicorn, this is very late in the draft. And I have him much, much higher on my draft board. Very crazy there. Mamadi Diakite goes to the Brooklyn Nets. We're getting down to the wire here. We have Josh Hall going off the board to the Charlotte Hornets. Chris LeBron, so another draft analyst, has gone off the board. Very interesting here. He is a 6'8" power forward out of Sweden. So again, this is probably going to mean we do need to make some changes to some of these players. By the way, I am in the game as well. If a team wanted to draft me, I would not be opposed to that. Now, given we do need to make some changes, this is probably one of the last chances I would have to be drafted. Then we have Vernon Carey going at 55 to the Golden State Warriors. 56, Leandro Barbaro going to the Utah Jazz. Very solid pick here. Very good value at this stage in the draft. Jordan Nwora goes to the Pistons at pick number 57. We're run down to the wire here. 58, we have Nick Richards is the pickup here. And then we have Boston Celtics take Yam Madar. Very solid point guard. Very good value this late in the draft. And we ended off with an interesting name. It is not someone from the real draft class, and I do not want to ruin that this player is in this class, so I'm not going to say his name, but you can definitely look for him, and it's kind of fun. I think if you jump in, you will see a very interesting prospect, to say the least, if you do take a look at him. And that does it for the draft. Very impressive what they've been able to do here. I think the draft class overall has some changes that need to be made, but I think if you play with it, you're going to like it. I think it's going to be the best draft class that you play with. I promise you want to check it out if you are on Xbox. And again, we may try to find a way to do something with the PlayStation. We are not there yet. So early on, at least, we are sticking with the Xbox version of this draft class. Again, you're listening to Dash Radio's Nothing Minute channel. We are Robin Hoop, NBA Draft Show, and this has been, we've been taking a look at the draft class that we made for the 2020 class. So there's more stuff we're going to do with this draft class, lots more to take into account. Let's take a look at the free agency period. Now, I'm very interested to see, does anyone else end up getting picked up in that free agency period as far as real players from this draft class? So if we go by free agency and we're going to search by age, Jaden McDaniels is still available, so they did not end up signing him. He's a 70 overall, and he's a young player, so he would be a guy you'd want to look at. Paul Abua is available. Surprisingly, James Wiseman couldn't come to an agreement with his team, which is very interesting. I'm guessing he wanted a lot more money than they were offering. That could have been part of it, too. We have Isaiah Stewart. Looking at some of the other players, Alexei Pokusevski was not able to be signed. Robert Woodard. So some of these guys in that second round that slid, teams were not able to pick them up. So that's very interesting. Bomaro, Josh Hall. So there's a number of players that in that second round that teams were not able to come up with agreements to. So that's kind of interesting if you ask me. And something to watch for as you play out this draft class. Again, hit us up on Twitter at NBN-Radio or me specifically. You can find this show at Robin Hoop Radio. Let us know when you try out this draft class. Let us know if you like some of the fun additions that we've added to the game. Again, the goal is that those players are not going to matter, right? So we're definitely going to look to probably move some of those players down overall because it would be better if the main guys that I'm getting drafted are going to be the players that are actually a part of this draft class. So those are the things that we're looking at, and those are the goals as we go forward with this draft class. This will be draft class 1.0. We will look to make some changes down the road, and you can definitely see that. Anytime you go in and look at the draft classes, you can see all the updates that have been done. We've already made a ton of updates to this draft class just since we started, and there's going to be more updates to come over the next 2 weeks as the draft approaches. And even after the draft, if you think about this, the soonest the season's going to come is December 22nd. We've got some time to fine-tune some things and really get things to a point where we feel comfortable with the class kind of being in the final stages. So we will see from there. All right, so what we ended up doing was simulating through that season, and now we are at the end of the season. I wanted to take a look and see which rookies were successful with which teams, get an idea of kind of where we stand as far as the rest, as far as the draft class and the results are concerned. So we are at the end of the season. Let's take a look here at the superlatives. So your MVP of the season was Luka Doncic. Rookie of the year was Isaac Okoro. How about these stats? 9 points, 6.2 rebounds, 8.6 assists, 1.5 steals, 0.6 blocks. And he did not figure out how to shoot, unfortunately, as he still struggled with that aspect. But still, rookie of the year with some solid numbers on the defensive end, at least. Although, Look at all those assists. So obviously they used him as a bit of a point forward at the Knicks, and it paid off. Let's take a look at sixth man of the year was Spencer Dinwiddie. Defensive player of the year was Giannis. Ja Morant is your most improved, and Rick Carlisle is your coach of the year. Let's go to the all-rookie teams. That's what we really want to know about, right? And let's see who is on what list. All right, so Okoro with the Knicks is first team. We have Killian Hayes with the Pistons, Jalen Smith with the Warriors, Denny Avdia with the Thunder, and Devin Vassell with the Hornets. And then second team, you have James Wiseman, Onyeka Okongwu with the Jazz. By the way, Wiseman's with the Lakers because that somehow happened. Patrick Williams with the Spurs, Precious Achiuwa with the Blazers, and Daniel Arturo with the Rockets. We're seeing a little bit of a pattern here, at least with the second team, a lot of big men. I mean, we're talking Wiseman, Okongwu, Achiuwa, Oturu, and of course, Patrick Williams, depending on how you view him, is a four, you know, maybe a 3-4, but you know, he's definitely one of those guys that's going to be playing the forward position. Regardless, very interesting. Let's see where they ended up, by the way. So Okoro ended the season, he is a 79 overall. Killian Hayes is a 78. Jalen Smith a 74. Denny Avdia is a 79. Devin Vassell is a 78. We have James Wiseman as a 75. Onyeka Okongwu is a 76. Patrick Williams is a 78. Precious Achiuwa is a 77. And Daniel Arturo is a 74. So that kind of puts things into perspective. And I think it's interesting, right? I mean, we had some pretty cool things from some of these players. Let's take a look at Rookie of the Month. We have, so in December and January, Xavier Tillman actually was Rookie of the Month in the Western Conference. Isaac Okoro was in the East. And actually, funny thing, the only players that won it in the East were Okoro and Hayes. So it went Okoro, Okoro, and then Hayes, Okoro, Hayes, Okoro, and then Hayes. So kind of interesting. And across the way, the only player that didn't make an all-rookie team but that did win Rookie of the Month was Xavier Tillman. And he won it, of course, in those first 2 months. So interesting, to say the least. I'm kind of curious how some of the other rookies panned out looking at the statistics. One thing I noticed is that the Timberwolves, for example, now, I was running the Timberwolves. That was the team I chose to have as my team, but I was not making any of the moves or any of the decisions. I let the computer do that. And they actually chose to start Isaiah Stewart next to Karl Towns. So kind of an interesting decision, something that Gerson Rosas would not do, as he's been on record that he wants to have more of a kind of a toolsy 3/4, which I think we can all agree that is not what Isaiah Stewart is. All right, let's take a look here at the player statistics, and I don't know for sure how that's going to work as far as what all we can make changes to. Let's see here. And it looks like it's only letting us do the, for player statistics, it looks like we're kind of stuck on, oh, here we go, playoffs. So they have two categories, playoff stats and season stats, which is what we're looking for. And then we also have the rookie report. Let's take a look at the rookie report here, and that kind of gives us a rundown of the players that have done what. So points per game, Killian Hayes was the leader at 17. Isaiah Joe was 14 points per game. Looking at some of the other guys, Denny Avdia is 16.6 points per game. And Denny, my number one guy, let's see what he ended up finishing with. So almost 17 points per game, just under 4 rebounds, just under 4 assists, and let's see, just under 1 steal a game. Shot, ooh, not good. 28% from 3, although 82% from the free throw line is a nice improvement, which is good to see. So we will definitely take that. How about Isaiah Joe? 41% from 3. Arguably the best shooter in the draft. A very, very solid player. A guy that I'm kind of curious of, and he must not be playing much, is Desmond Bane. Looking down the list, I don't see him much. Here we go. Desmond Bane with the, well, so the problem is he's with the Raptors, who are not going to be using a young guy necessarily a lot. So he did not play a lot of minutes, although he shot 41% from 3, averaging 3.3 points per game. Nothing to really write home about necessarily there. Let's down the list. Let's see if anyone else kind of sticks out as far as statistics. We had Tyrese Maxey, by the way, had a really down season. One of my favorite players in the draft. Good shooter, good defender. But he was 27% from 3, although an 85% from the free throw line. So, and think about this. 27% from 3, but his field goal percentage is 51%. So he obviously shot very well from 2. including probably very well at the basket, as he's proven he can get to the hoop, draw some fouls. There's lots to like about that. Jay Scrubb, one of the sleepers in this draft class, finished with just under 9 points per game, just a little bit over three rebounds, and almost four assists, and a steal. So interesting there. And he actually, he actually had a solid season from the three-point line, 42% from three. Very impressive. In fact, let's see, he might have been the leader. He was not. So technically, Tyrese Haliburton was 100% from the three-point line. He must have only taken like one shot. He played with the Bulls, and he didn't play very many minutes at all. And the other guys that were pretty good, Jaden McDaniels had a solid season, Devin Vassell, a lot of the guys you'd expect. By the way, Theo Maldon, he did not win the backup point guard position with the Wolves. So what I did was I actually traded Jordan McLaughlin, and we didn't even have another pure point guard on the roster, and they still wouldn't give Theo Maldon minutes. So he definitely was not the guy there. He just did not do well. A really popular name recently. People have really started to throw him into that top 10. Kira Lewis. I really like Kira Lewis. There's a lot to like about his game. And when you look at what he was able to do, 7 points. By the way, he's with the Wizards. So 7 points, almost four rebounds, a little over two assists per game. Some interesting stats there. And 40% or 39.5% from three. So some pretty good numbers for some of these players, and a lot to like from this rookie class, I think. And you're going to get a lot of really quality players out of this draft class. Again, maybe not stars, although me personally, I do think some of these guys do end up being those high-level players, but you're going to get a lot of really quality role players, maybe some good starters. There's a lot to like about this draft class, even though, as many have put it, it is a little bit of a down class. So time will tell on that. We're going to definitely do more with this draft class, and we've got more in store in the next week and a half before the draft comes out. So stay tuned for lots of content from Robin Hoop Radio. You've been listening to Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. We are Robin Hoop Radio, and until next time.
With the first pick in the 2003 NBA Draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA Draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA Draft.
With the third pick in the 2018 NBA Draft.
With the first pick in the 1998 NBA Draft.
With the first pick in the Orlando Magic.
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.